Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gobi Jana Vallabha Giribaradhari. Gobi Jana Vallabha Giribaradhari. Yashoda Nana na, Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nana na, Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tirvana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Madhava Kunjabihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu.
Pratipada Paramahansa Parivad Kacharita Sri Shima Tidandi Goswami Shila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivad Kacharita Sarasata Sri Shima Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jumuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Shri Balaram Purnima Mahamahotsava Ki Jai Shri Baladevi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai, Jai, Srila Bhagavata. Jai. Hare Krishna. Let me get this turned off. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The 10th canto, the 2nd chapter, text 13. Garbha Sankarshanatam Vai Brahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Lokaram Manad Balabhadram Balotrayat Garbha Sankarshanatam Vai Brahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Lokaramanam Balabhadram Balotrayat. Others? Garbha Sankarshanatam Vai Sankarsanatam Vai Prabhu Sankarsanam Bhuvi Loka Vamana Ladies, Sankarsanatam Vai Missed it here. Okay. Garba Sankarsanat. Because he will be taken from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Tam him. Rohini Nandana, the son of Rohini. Vai indeed. Brahu. People will call Sankarsanam by the name Sankarsana. Bhuvi in the world. Rama iti. He will also be called Rama. Loka Ramana. Because of his special mercy in enabling people in general to become devotees. Balabhadram, he will also be called Balabhadra. Balauchtraya, because of extensive bodily strength. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsana, because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Purport. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarsan, Balaram, or sometimes Rama. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, people sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Ram may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. Here Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Rameti. Therefore it is excuse me. Therefore it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Ram. Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Rams: Parashuram, Raghupati Ram, and Balaram. All of them are Ramas. Ram. Shri Balaram ki jai. I would like to add two verses to today's class from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and attempt to speak in relation to these as well as what we've just spoken. These are from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is from Adi Lila, the 5th chapter, verse 4. Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tara Dvitiya Deha Sri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Shvamsha, and forms that have limited potency, the living entities, are called Bibinamsha. And verse 5. Ekahi swarupadonhe bina matrakai adyakai vyuha krishna lilar sahai. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Balaram is a svamsa expansion. This is purport by Prabhupada. Balaram is a svamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. These verses and today's verse help us to try and understand the identity of Sri Balaram. Sri Balaram's identity is mysterious in some ways. He is Krishna. He is fully Krishna. One difference. What's the difference? He's white. Krishna is. Of course, there are other differences too. He's born a little earlier. There are many we could count other differences. But here, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they draw us to see that there is no difference. These are both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this is difficult. There's one God, right? I mean, God must be one. One of the common criticisms, you could say, of the followers of the Vedas is they worship many gods. I remember we went to the Vatican. How many of you here have been to the Vatican Museum? Maybe you've been to the Vatican. Anyway, my wife and I have been here. So in the Vatican Museum, there's a section on, you could say, Hinduism, or, you know, things that... And there's this big, big glass case, and there's row after row after row after row of little deities. There's Agni and there's Indra and there's Brahma. And they're just trying to. And there's millions of these. They're trying to make this point. we in the followers of Jesus, we know there's only one God. And look at these people, they're hundreds, thousands of gods. Anything becomes God. And today we see that for some common people, they actually do this. They make anything into God. So, what is it? Is God one or is God many? And the Bhagavatam teaches us that God is both one and many. In his oneness, he is not satisfied with one form. Sometimes we, in the material world, we're always looking for companionship. We want friends, we want children, we want family, we want lovers. And we were always looking for those individuals who will complement us, who will bring the two halves becoming one. That's the ideal of relationship, where two people come together and their thoughts, their feelings, their desires are so complementary that they feel like they're just one person. But we're always dissatisfied with that. It never really works out. We try to find that kind of relationship, but because of our own imperfections and the imperfections in others, there's always something that kind of doesn't work, and there's some argument, there's some fight. Because we aren't one. We are two individuals. Krishna also wants companionship. He wants to enjoy. So he himself becomes his own companion. There's no possibility. We, on the other hand, we try to find someone close to us, and sometimes it becomes, you know, pretty good. But here, Krishna himself, to enjoy, he expands himself. He expands himself. And his first expansion is Balaram. Why Balaram? I was thinking about this. Well, what is Balaram's role? What does Balaram do? How does he relate with Krishna? So Balaram, he manifests the entire spiritual world. Krishna expands himself as Balaram, and then Balaram expands everything else. Balaram provides a flute. He provides, I think he even provides his hair, right? I mean, there's isn't that somebody who knows better than me? The different paraphernalia, his clothes, he provides everything for Krishna to enjoy. And he continues to serve Lord Krishna. I read this morning in a talk from Radhana Swami, describing how Balaram is unique in that he relates with Krishna in all the five rasas. He relates with Krishna in the Shanta Ras to provide all of the arrangements, all the things that Krishna needs. He relates as a servant, serving Krishna. Of course, he relates as a friend. The pastimes of Krishna and Balaram in their friendship are supremely attractive. And we can maybe try to talk some of that when we have the time. And Balaram also has a Vatsalya relationship with Krishna. As his elder brother, often we find Balaram is telling Krishna what to do. It's time to go home. It's time for lunch. And finally, Balaram even has a Madhurya relationship with Krishna. He can't have this Madhurya, is not possible in his form as Balaram. He thinks, if I were to come close to Krishna when he wants to, he's enjoying with the gopis, it would be very inappropriate. First of all, he may be embarrassed, and the gopis certainly would be embarrassed. So instead, Balaram assumes another form as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani. And in that form, he assists again in the sweet conjugal leelas of Sri Krishna. So Balaram has this life, this relationship with Krishna to serve him in all different aspects. He goes on to serve Krishna in this world. Balaram then expands himself. We have Krishna expanding himself as Balaram, and now Balaram, he's going to expand himself. He expands himself as Mahasankarshan, and then the Chaturvyuha, and he expands himself into this world. He's expanding and expanding. He's entering everything. Why? To serve Krishna. So Balaram is Krishna's first full expansion of himself to complement his enjoying mood with that which facilitates his enjoyment. And then, of course, he expands as Srimati Radharani for another aspect of his enjoyment. So we see Krishna and Balaram, and we understand that they are one, and yet they are different. And especially, we relate with Balaram as our Adi Guru, as our original teacher. As our teacher, in that same talk, Radhana Swami, and I am not sure where this is described, but he spoke about how Balaram carries a plow. And he spoke about how, what do we use a plow for? We use the plow to get ready the earth so that it can receive the seeds. So with the plow, Guru, as the representative of Baladev, with that energy, tills the dry earth of our hearts. We have within a soil which has become dried and caked and hard like stone. We know, actually, this happens. Earth, you leave earth long enough, what happens to it? It becomes stone. the stone of the earth that we dig down and we find was once earth, but compacted and molded, it's become stone. So similarly, our soil, the soil of our inner being, has been compacted, dried up, borne down with the heavy load of our material desire, till it becomes like rock. And yet the plow of Balaram can break it up through Gurudev, so that we can receive the seeds of devotion, of bhakti. So we relate with Balaram as our Adi Guru, as our teacher. He teaches us through our spiritual masters, and he teaches us directly by his own relationship with Krishna about the mood of service. Of course, sometimes Balaram's leela takes another turn. We find Balaram sometimes disagrees with Krishna, and then things get interesting. In the Bhagavatam, we find how Balaram from time to time had an argument with Krishna. He argued over the marriage of Subhadra, and then he argued over the battle of Kurukshetra. He had some affection for Duryodhana, and he also felt why we have to have this huge fight. He decided to even go on to leave Dwarka, go out on pilgrimage. And in that pilgrimage, he taught a few lessons, especially when he met up with Ramaharshan Sutta in Naimisharanya. Very interesting pastime. There we see an example of the strength. This verse describes that we know Balaram as Balabhadra because of his extraordinary strength, and this was demonstrated when in the assembly of Naimisharanya, simply by touching a piece of grass on the head of Ramaharshan Sutta, he was killed. There we see an example of the danger of not recognizing Balaram as the Supreme Personality. Ramaharshan Sutta, thinking it was proper because he was sitting on a seat like this, he had been put there by the assembled Brahmins. And the rule is that the one who is sitting on the asana, because it's the seat of Vyas, he is given all respect by everyone. He's not supposed to get up. But that doesn't include God entering into the assembly. And for us, it would not include many senior devotees. I couldn't imagine myself sitting here and Srila Prabhupada entering the room, and I would just sit there. Oh, well, you know, I'm on the asana, you know, so I'm not supposed... No, of course, I would immediately get up and fall down. So, Balaram teaches us. He teaches us through our gurus. He teaches us directly. And we associate with him. Particularly in his appearance as Sri Nityananda. This part of Adi Leela that I just read is prefacing the description of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And we worship Balaram every day in that form. But this particular verse also tells us that we are worshiping Balaram in our chanting. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Balaram is present in his name there as well. Now it's very interesting that some people will object. Prabhupada brings attention to this, that wait a minute, the Maha Mantra is not talking about Balaram. For most people, my understanding is that the Maha Mantra, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but for most people, they interpret it that Hare is Hari, because Hare is a way to address Hari. And Krishna is Krishna, and Rama is Ramachandra. Am I correct? I mean, someone who's more scholarly? That's what I've understood. That's the more common definition of the Hare Krishna mantra is Hari, Krishna, and Rama, or Ramachandra. Now, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have another definition. They say that Hare is Hara, is Radharani. That Krishna is Krishna, and that Rama is also Krishna, as Radharaman. And here we have Rama as Lord Balaram. I've had some difficulty with this, and maybe someone here can help me out, because we generally don't associate Hare as Radha with Rama as Balaram. So when we chant Hare Rama, anyway, if anyone here has some reference, my only conclusion is that when we chant Hare Rama and we are thinking of Rama as Balaram, then we're the Hare becomes Hari. But anyway, that's my conjecture. But here clearly Prabhupada says that yes, that Balaram is present in the Maha Mantra. And that this verse supports it, because this verse describes that Balaram will be known as Rama, Ramayati. So we are associating with Balaram in every day in so many ways. We associate with Balaram in some ways when we chant the holy names. We associate with Balaram especially when we worship Nityananda. And we associate with Balaram through the mercy of our spiritual masters, who are all his representatives. So today we have the great fortune to honor and worship and celebrate his appearance. This verse describes how Balaram appeared in a very unusual way. That he first appears in the womb of Devaki. Now in another part where Srila Prabhupada talks about this, he goes a little bit more into the detail about how the field of Devaki's womb is purified by the first six children, who are actually demoniac qualities, who represent demoniac qualities, Krodha and Lobha and Matsarya. But all of these things are flushed out. And then finally, like his Balaram's service, he prepares the field, he creates the environment, he sets it all up. So he sets up the womb of Devaki for Krishna to appear.
And in order to enjoy his pastimes with Krishna, and by the order of Lord Krishna, by the power of Yoga Maya, he enters the womb of Rohini. And there he's born. This day, in the full moon of Shravan, in Gokula. Where is, anyone know specifically, is he, where he's born in, what is it called? In Gokula, there's a, where Balaram is born? Who knows? Anyone? Yes? Huh? Dauji, right? Dauji is the place he's born, isn't it? That's what I thought, right? There's a beautiful temple of Balaram in Dauji, established by Virabhadra, right? Anyway, Krishna's grandson. Beautiful temple. So Dauji's born there as the son of Rohini. I guess it must be a year earlier. Or is it just a few weeks earlier? It's a year earlier. No, it must be. Who knows exactly? I searched, but that's my... Am I correct? 1 year earlier? No one knows. I look for a, you know, exact, you know, is it 1 year earlier or anyhow. I'm Hare Krishna, 1 year. We'll just go with 1 year. It's before. He's elder, and I'm pretty sure it's more than 2 weeks older. So he's born as the elder brother. And from the very beginning, he's attached to Krishna. They're inseparable. They enjoy so many childhood pastimes together. From time to time, Balaram kills some demons too. They have so many different relationships. So today we can take advantage, hear more again and again about the pastimes of Lord Balaram. Remember our relationship with him. Try to enter into the mood of becoming pure servants in the assisting Balaram in his service to Sri Krishna. So, as we could go on, but time is getting short. Perhaps there's some other comments, questions. We can talk about Sri Balaram. Anyone like to add something? Yes, Prabhu. Is there a microphone where I can hear? Oh, before you do that, I wanted to share with you something that this is kind of interesting. And most of you probably have not heard this. Some of you from India might have heard this or who are really scholarly. Anyway, I was researching, trying to prepare for this class, and I went to one of the standard sources of all information in the world, Wikipedia. And not exactly Bhagavatam, but anyway, mostly I was going to Vanipedia. Vanipedia is the go-to place you really actually want true information, then go to Vanipedia. But if you want to know what the world thinks, you can go to Wikipedia. And I found something interesting. I said there was a little sentence there saying something about how in the Adi Parva, the real you know, source of why Krishna is white and why, excuse me, Balaram is white and Krishna is black is revealed. And I said, well, that's curious. I'd never heard that. I'd be curious to know what that is. So I tried to find it out, and then gradually I searched. And then I found that there is some statement in Puranas and various places that it's something like Sita Krishna Kleshau. Sita meaning white, Krishna meaning black, Kleshau meaning hair, or could mean hair. This is what I found out by after I read further. So there's a common idea that when the demigods approach Vishnu, that he responds saying, by pulling out two hairs from his head. And one is white, which gives you a clue to how this is a bogus idea. And the other is black. And it said that the white hair becomes Balaram and the black hair becomes Krishna. So this fits in with the whole idea that Vishnu is the source of all incarnations and that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. Right? So it fits in to the kind of the idea that many followers of Hinduism figure out. So apparently now this has been commented on. I thought this is curious. I'd never heard this. But I guess it was quite a... It has been and maybe is still a popular notion in common people. And it was at the time of Jiva Goswami because he talks about it in the Krishna Sandarbha apparently. And he describes, well, no, this is not the right translation. This is not the right meaning of Klesha. Klesha means something. And I can't remember all the ways in which he and Sridhar Swami, they all take this and they turn it apart and they say, no. This is not the way it is. It's Krishna who expands himself. It's Krishna appearing as Krishna. It's Krishna and Balaram. Balaram appearing as Balaram. It's not Vishnu incarnating himself as Krishna and Balaram. And the white and the black referred to different qualities. Anyway, it's a long thing if you want to. I didn't remember it all. But no. It's not, and the giveaway is, since when does God have white hair? I mean, you know, he's ever youthful. He doesn't get white hair. Maybe as a Dvaita Acharya, he gets white hair. Ah, he's getting Srivatsa. Okay, Srivatsa is white. Hare Krishna. So anyway, that was just an interesting little addition that you might... So if you run across anybody who has that misconception, just point them into the Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas. And Sridhar Swami. They both comment on this. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they all comment. It became a big thing in those days, and it probably still is, a misconception. So that's one misconception to deal with. Hare Krishna. So you had a question, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for nice class. You say Balaram represents Adi Guru. So here we see that Duryodhana was personified as the irreligiosity, so much immoral activities. I'm saying those are against of the body. So how then Balaram have a Balaram support Duryodhana?
Well,
how do you see it?
I take great hope from this, that if Balaram can teach Duryodhana, then I also may be able to get taught by Gurudev. Balaram had friendship with Duryodhana, but he never supported Duryodhana's position as in enmity with Krishna. He simply wanted peace. He wanted to avoid the battle. He wanted things to be... And Duryodhana had many good qualities in other respects, but he had this in his heart. So I can only say that this is Balaram's mercy, that Balaram is merciful. That's described here. This verse itself says, it says here something about, he will also be called Rama, and then the verse says, Loka Ramanad, because of his special mercy in enabling people in general to become devotees. So Balaram has this special mercy, Loka Ramanat, to enable people in general, Duryodhana, others, to become devotees. So I can only understand it as his special mercy. And his pastime, his lila, perhaps someone else has some more esoteric answer to this question. I don't know. But my immediate thought is, well, first of all, he's independent. Balaram is independent. He can do whatever he likes. So if he has friendship, of course he taught both Bhima and Duryodhana. They both were the students of Balaram in the art of club fighting. So this is all, on one side is also a lila. Yes, Prabhu. Can you, because I can't really hear you, and no one else can.
Testing. I've never heard anybody go into the significance of Rukmi being killed. And Rukmi was a very interesting character because he approached the battlefield of Kurukshetra and was not allowed. He approached both sides and tried to join. And Krishna said, no, we don't need you here. And he had a very special bow. He was, you know, on a par with Abhimanyu and Karna and everyone. And later, Balaram kills him. And I was wondering if there's some significance. Because his father's name is Bhishmaka. And the whole story of Mahabharata, the whole Dwarka Leela is really glorifying Bhishma. Bhishmaka, there's a symmetry. But I've never heard anyone speak about it.
Well, that whole family has a lot of very interesting connections, Rukmi and Rukmini. And so that seems to me, I can only say that it's a wonderful lila, but otherwise I'd have no idea. Any other questions or comments about Sri Balaram? Jai Baladev ki jai, Balaram Jayanti ki jai.